Welcome to Issues of the Heart. Have you experienced anger, jealousy, anxiety, depression, marital storms or difficulties? Maybe struggling with self-control? Well, you're not alone, and we're here to help. We deal with these issues and more on Issues of the Heart. It's a weekly broadcast hosted by Jay Albright and a variety of guests where we examine biblical remedies to those issues of the heart. Stay tuned for this week's episode. Well, welcome to Issues of the Heart. Come on in, make yourself at home. We're going to cover another anchor. Appreciate your being with us, and I appreciate we've gotten several responses. Some people just saying hello, some people asking questions. So as we go along here in these anchors, I'll try to answer those questions. We're going to be doing some podcast on the subject of anger here coming up in the near future. A lot of people have been asking about that. I'm actually getting questions about that one, which are questions that I can ask our guest while he's on. But anyway, we thank you for joining us. I hope you've had a wonderful day, wonderful week this past week. And hopefully this will be a good start off for this coming week. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been dealing with a situation with your husband or your wife, maybe somebody at work, maybe a friend, and it just their response, although they didn't say the wrong thing, they didn't do the wrong thing, but just their response created a negative atmosphere in the conversation? Or maybe your response created a negative atmosphere in the conversation. And so what maybe was a small thing or something that could have been easily resolved became more complicated. And it became more complicated because of just the atmosphere in which the conversation was taking place. Let me share something with you. Of course, we're talking about those anchors that you throw out of the boat when you're in a stormy relationship. When the storm comes, things get difficult. Any number of things could have happened. It could have been a small thing that started developing into something big. It could have been something that could have been easily handled that ended up becoming something catastrophic almost. And in the beginning, you made up your mind, I'm going to have a conversation. We're going to nip this in the bud. We're going to stop it before it gets out of hand. But there was just something, there was a negative energy in that conversation. And because of that negative energy, the situation became worse, not better. And the conversation you were having was pretty much useless. Well, all of us have been in those situations, and I'll say that some of the time it had nothing to do with us, and some of the time it was coming from us. We're going to talk about this a little bit when we get into the subject of anger, because we produce a spirit, right? You can have a spirit of bitterness, you can have a spirit of anger, you can have a spirit of whatever. And you don't even have to say anything in a mean way, but just that air, just that spirit that's protruding from you creates a negative situation. So I'm telling you, when the storm starts to rage and the tempest is a mess, the boat's about to sink, the marriage, I mean, you're wondering, can I go on with this? Is this something that's even going to work? This relationship seems to be in great turmoil. What do you do? Well, here is anchor number 18. And anchor number 18 is the anchor of a sweet spirit. The anchor of a sweet spirit. You see, it's interesting when the battles rage, and it could be something that had nothing to do. Let me give you, for instance. Because of some of the pressure on my job, I can come home and Steph and I'll be in a conversation, and it may just be a general conversation. It could be something that wasn't even issue-based. But I can't let go of that spirit of anxiety that I brought home from the office, or that I carried with me off of a conference call, or of a meeting I'd had with other people in the corporate surroundings in our office. I couldn't shake it. And because of that, it created a negative atmosphere. And sometimes Stephanie would just come right out. And I don't even pick up on it, but she'll say, okay, so what happened at work today? Or what kind of conversations did you have on the phone? Because what happened that day is producing a negative atmosphere. Now it goes the other way too. Maybe she's had a rough day. Maybe she's had some conversations, or maybe she found out some of her family members are having some physical problems or physical ailments or whatever. Maybe something hasn't worked out for her. And we'll have a general conversation, and the conversation will turn negative because of a spirit I'm sensing from her. Okay, so what do you do? Well, this one, this anchor is critical. As a matter of fact, this one probably is as critical, if not more critical, than any of the others that we've covered so far. When the storm rages, when the water gets rough, when the battle is intense, throughout the anchor of a sweet spirit and just be still. Throughout the anchor of a sweet spirit and just stop where you're at. Stop in your tracks. You already know if that is the atmosphere, if you go any further, the conversation will get worse. The waves will get higher. The storm will be more intense than it was. So what do you do? Here's what you do. You stop. You throw the anchor and stop. And just respond with a sweet spirit. A sweet spirit. Look, a sweet spirit. I hope you get this. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you something you maybe need to write down somewhere. A sweet spirit is a badge of honor for the person who is at peace with God. Let me give it to you again. Make a mental note of it. Make a vision of it. Write it down. A sweet spirit is a badge of honor for the person who is at peace with God. Now, if that's true, then if there is no sweet spirit, then the opposite would be true, right? If conflict, if a negative spirit, if a confrontational spirit is what you're exhibiting, well, that's a sign that you're not at peace with God. Okay, so Proverbs 15:13, I like this verse. It says, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken." A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a merry heart? Even right now today, you're listening to this podcast and are thinking about maybe some things you're going through, some battles you're facing. Let me ask you, do you have a merry heart? Now, at that very moment, maybe there's conflict, but do you have a merry heart? Can you exhibit a sweet spirit in the face of conflict. Listen, an inner spirit is the reflection of a heart attitude. An inner spirit is a reflection of a heart attitude. So, if you have a bad attitude, if you have an attitude that doesn't reflect Christ, it more than likely has something to do with that inner spirit. What are you exhibiting? Is it turmoil? Is it negative? I mean, you can tell by the way people speak. You know what I'm talking about. You can see this even. Let's suppose you go to the store and you're checking out your stuff, and you're talking to the cashier, and boy, you just in the conversation, you feel prone to say something negative because the spirit you're getting from that cashier, it's not a sweet spirit, it's a negative spirit. It could be the look on the face. It could be whether they smile or don't smile. It could be the whole negative atmosphere that's being produced by their spirit. And what you want to do is you want to respond in a negative way because of that spirit. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 34 says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Hey, look, if you say negative things to your wife, that's coming straight from the heart. If you say negative things to your husband, that's coming straight from the heart. If you exhibit negative responses, it could be a frown, it could be a smirk, it could be a shaking of the head, it could be turning away, any of those things, that comes from the heart. It comes from the heart. So, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We covered back, I think it was anchor number one, two, and or number one, we talked about our conversation. And we said our conversation needed to be a conversation that was a joyful conversation or a helpful conversation. And we talked about thinking before you speak. And we talked about a thoughtful conversation. I said to you the day we covered that anchor, a lot of people have come to me, men especially, and they say, "Hey, you know what, Jay, I just say what I think." And I responded, "No, you say before you think. Think before you speak. Search your heart before you speak. Clean up what you plan to say before you speak. Because remember, from the abundance of the heart." Look, if you have a bitter heart, your conversation is not going to be good. So, if you have a heart that's been hurt, your conversation's not going to be good. If you have a heart that's in turmoil, you're not going to have a conversation that's going to be good. Because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So the battle comes. Could be for anything. I don't know what caused the storm that you may be going through. It could be anything. Sometimes it's a major thing. Sometimes it's something really simple. But whether it's a major issue or a simple issue, I'm telling you, if you throw out the anchor of a sweet spirit, stop the ship, you will be surprised and maybe shocked at the product of that sweet spirit. Let me explain it this way. A sweet spirit lays the groundwork for productive conversation. If you have a sweet spirit, you can have a conversation that is productive, that is corrective, that leads to a solution. But if you don't have a sweet spirit, it won't happen. As a matter of fact, I predict that if you start to talk about an issue and you don't have a sweet spirit and you have a bitter spirit or you have an angry spirit, then what's going to happen is that situation is going to get worse, maybe, and I predict to the point where you'll stop the conversation because you're not getting anywhere. It's useless. And both of you will be upset and angry. And the problem will be worse. So, when there is a problem, when there is a difficulty, before you have that conversation, throw out the anchor of a sweet spirit. Hey, let me ask, have you ever tried smiling? I know. Smiling produces wrinkles. And we're all getting old enough. We don't want the wrinkles. We don't smile. We don't want the wrinkles. But you know what? Take the wrinkles and smile. There's something about a cheerful countenance that makes a conversation productive and more easily resolves issues. So, you lay the groundwork for a productive conversation with a sweet spirit, with a smile. But the opposite is true. A critical spirit promotes destructive conversation. So, lay the groundwork for a productive conversation with a sweet spirit so that, and be sure you cancel out a critical spirit so you don't promote a destructive conversation. Look, if your conversation is going to be destructive, it'd be better if you didn't have a conversation at all. Now, I want people to talk, and I tell you, communicate, talk, share what you're going through. I mean, don't let the issue break down your communication. But if the only conversation you can have is coming from a critical spirit, stop. Just stop. I've talked to people and still do often. You can see them at the store. You can see them at work. You can see them wherever you're at. You can even see them at church. People that have a critical spirit that never produces a productive conversation. Someone said to me, I've heard this often. Well, you know, you need to be able to take constructive criticism. And my response is always, I don't believe in constructive criticism. The reason I don't believe in it is because, first of all, the term doesn't even go together. Constructive means to build up. Criticism means to tear down. Those two things don't go together. Okay, now you can have constructive conversation, but not constructive criticism. A critical spirit promotes destructive conversation. So, when you're going to talk about an issue, when you're going to talk about something you're both going through, you're going to talk about a problem, get rid of the critical spirit. Ask God to take the critical spirit, put a smile on your face, and throw out the anchor of a sweet spirit. Here's another thing. A sweet spirit removes barriers to the resolution of the conflict. A sweet spirit removes barriers to the resolution of the conflict. Can the conflict be resolved? Sure it can. It always can. But sometimes there are barriers that prevent it from being repaired. And more often than not, those barriers can be removed with a sweet spirit. Have you ever tried to be angry with somebody that had a sweet spirit? You can't do it. You can try, but you will not be successful. A sweet spirit. A sweet spirit. My grandma, I'll never forget when I was growing up. I've tried so hard many times to get angry with my grandma. Maybe she wasn't letting me do something I wanted to do, or maybe she had some things she wanted me to do, some chores or whatever, around her place when I was staying with them, you know, for the summer. And I didn't want to do that stuff. And I would want to be angry with her. I would want to have a problem with her. I wanted to get mad. But she was so sweet. You couldn't do it. She had that sweet, sweet spirit. And the more I tried to be angry, the less I could be angry. Because of that sweet spirit. Well, again, if a sweet spirit removes barriers to the resolution of conflict, a bad spirit disables the potential for the resolution of the issues. You know, you can have the right idea, you can have the right conversation, you can have the right thought, you can have the right plan. You can have the right Bible verses picked out to resolve it with. And all of those things, excuse me, will be a waste if you have a bad spirit. Because people will not respond to positive activity coming from a person with a bad spirit. Check me out. Don't take my word for it. Just kind of watch people in the days to come. Listen to people in the days to come. I promise you. You can spot a mile away the people with a sweet spirit. And you can spot even further away the people with a bad negative spirit. So, a sweet spirit removes barriers to resolution of conflict. A bad spirit disables the potential to resolving the issues or the conflict. Next thing, a sweet spirit promotes sweetness in relationship. I don't think anybody listening to me will disagree with me. There may be some of you old grouchy people that might disagree with me, but most people won't. But there's something special in a relationship where there's sweetness. A sweet spirit promotes sweetness in a relationship. Give your mate something to come home to. When we're dealing with couples, I'll often tell one or the other, whichever one is appropriate to tell this to, I'll say, look, work on having a sweet spirit. Well, I don't agree with what he's doing. Work on having a sweet spirit. I don't agree with what she said. Work on having a sweet spirit. And the reason is because it gives them something to come home to. People want to come home to a sweet spirit. You know, I love coming home from church at noon on Sundays because more than likely Stephanie would have started cooking something for lunch on Sunday and she would have had it in a crock pot or a slow cooker or whatever. Well, she'll start it maybe the night before. We'll go to church, but by the time we come home from church, it's been cooking long enough that as soon as you open the door to that, you know what I'm talking about? As soon as you open the door to the house, you smell that meal and your mouth starts to water and you can't wait to get the table set and to jump into that meal because that sweetness from that aroma is welcoming. Did you know that's exactly what a sweet spirit does? You know, I come home. Maybe I'm out traveling. I'm going to be gone this week, you know, a couple of days. And, you know, I come home and I walk through the door. There's something special when I walk through the door and I'm greeted with that sweet spirit. There's something special that happens to the wife. When she's waited all day, her husband finally comes home. He walks through the door and he greets her with a sweet spirit. And that sweetness of spirit promotes a sweetness in the relationship. Give your mate something to come home to. A sweet spirit creates desire for fellowship. Look, I want to be around people that have a sweet spirit. I want to be around those people. I want to be around my wife because she has a sweet spirit. I want her to want to be around me because I have a sweet spirit. So when the storm comes, you don't start complaining and nagging and griping and throwing a fit throughout the anchor of a sweet spirit. And watch what happens. It will create desire for fellowship. And when you have desire for fellowship, guess what? Resolution is right around the corner. Because when you have a sweet spirit that desires fellowship, the fellowship promotes conversation, that promotes resolution. Psalms 55:14. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Get this. We didn't just seek counsel, we took sweet counsel together. Nothing is better than sweet counsel in conflict. So, storm comes. It's getting rough. Sky's dark. The wind's blowing. It's a Euroclodon, a massive storm in your relationship. We know the best thing to do is be still. What anchor do you throw out to stop and be still? Try the anchor of a sweet spirit. You'll be surprised. God bless you. Hope you make application of it. We'll talk to you on our next podcast. Thank you.